Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, that great one, Lonzo, and you. The Hub City Spartanburger text line open for you, 844-326-3663. That is also the number that you should call if you'd like to get on the air. If you've got any thoughts on last night's NBA draft, now's the time to fire them off, either on the text or if you got a hot take, give it to me on the air at 844-326-3663. I will remind you once again, you're welcomed and encouraged to be a part of the show. We want you to be a part of the show. 844-326-3663. You can also tweet me if you wish to do so at the Rob Brown Show, at the Rob Brown Show. You can also tweet Lonzo if you wish to do so at Lonzo on Word, W-O-R-D, at Lonzo on Word. You can get at everybody here at the station at the Fan Upstate if you want to jump on board in that direction. You can do so as well. If you got something a little more long format, but you don't want to get on the air with it, if it's too long for a text or a tweet, but you don't want to call in, rob.brown at thefanupstate.com, rob.brown at thefanupstate.com. That is available for you as well. Let's, ladies and gentlemen, as it is 7:00. Well, I was going to do the wait almost 7:02, but there's too much time. So I'll just say it is 7:01, 7:02 in the morning, 58 minutes on the dot until you got to get your booty into the office, get sat down, respond to all of those emails that you ignored last night because you were watching baseball or the NBA draft or whatever you were doing last night. You're going to respond to those, and then you're going to get up, you're going to walk down the hallway, you're going to go find Stephanie from Accounts Receivable, and you're going to talk some sports. Maybe you're going to talk about the NBA draft. Maybe you're going to talk a little baseball. Who knows? But if you're going to talk sports, you got to know what's going on. And the good news is for you is that we do this. It's the Water Cooler Cheat Sheet, the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports this morning. When you do, this is what you'll be talking about. Let's dive right in, shall we, with item number one. NBA draft goes down last night. We have already talked about it, broken it down from the Charlotte perspective at length, but there were a lot of other teams who made picks last night. 30 picks were made by teams. How's that? Last night, Cooper Flagg, no shock, goes number one overall to the Dallas Mavericks, who, despite having just a 1.8% chance of getting the number one overall pick in the NBA draft lottery, got the number one overall pick in the draft lottery. They end up with Cooper Flagg. Dylan Harper goes second. He's a young guard out of Rutgers. VJ Edgecombe third to the 76ers, and that is where the Charlotte Hornets came on the clock for the first time. They elected to go with Con Knipple, the guard out of Duke, as the number four pick. Ace Bailey, who was the most interesting story, arguably, coming into this draft, did not want to go to Philly at number three. He wanted to go to Washington at number six or New Orleans at number seven. Instead, the Utah Jazz say, yeah, it ain't up to you, dog. They take him at number five. The Wiz end up with the guard out of Texas, Trey Johnson, at six. Jeremiah Fierce heads down to New Orleans at pick number seven. Igor Demin, the guard out of BYU, a Russian native, ends up eight to Brooklyn. Brooklyn had five picks last night. They took four guards. Four guards. They are going to have, they're going to be an all-guard team next year. At number nine, hailing from the University of South Carolina, Cullen Murray Boyles goes ninth overall to Toronto. I believe that he is the first Gamecock selected with the lottery pick. I read that last night. I did not have the opportunity to go confirm that. I believe some of you South Carolina fans may be able to clue me in on this. I know I'm just supposed to know because I'm a big smart boy. But I didn't take the time to go look this up. I believe Kyle Murray Boyles is the first lottery draft selection for the South Carolina Gamecocks. He goes nine overall to Toronto with the 10th pick. Kamon Malook goes to Houston. He'll team up with Kevin Durant. Some other notable moves last night. Hey, help team up with Kevin Durant. No, scratch that. He will not, because I forgot they traded that to Phoenix. So he will actually be a Suns when it's all said and done. There were a lot of moves last night. Atlanta drafted Derek Queen. Remember Derek Queen? He's the one that hit the buzzer beater for Maryland, but also definitely didn't. Should have been a call. Should have been a travel call. They let it go because it was a super cool moment. Remember that? Derek Queen got drafted by Atlanta.
That was a gathering discussion, right?
Yeah, if I recall correctly. I think so. Either way, the point was he made a buzzer beater that everybody was buzzing the next day, and Rob Brown had to be a buzz kill by pointing out that that bucket should not have counted. It was electrifying, and if I recall, I believe it was the first buzzer beater we had in the tournament.
You know, without that, would you know who he is? Would most people know who he is?
Most people know. Most people know. Because he was a borderline threat to be a lottery pick.
Yeah, but you say he played for Maryland?
Played for Maryland. That is correct. He was a center at Maryland, but he's 6'9". He's probably going to play more power forward. Atlanta drafted him, but they traded him to New Orleans. The Pelicans came up to get him. They sent the 22nd overall pick to Atlanta. They basically had a player swap there as Atlanta drafted Derek Queen at 9. Asa Newell from Georgia was drafted by the Pelicans at 23, but they swapped those two players in that spot. Atlanta also sent a trade pick to San Antonio at 14. They took Carter Bryant out of Arizona in that spot. Yang Hansen from China, a 7'2" Chinese player, is going to be on his way to Portland. He was drafted by Memphis, but was traded out there. Our first French player is Jean Berenger. He's from France, so you have to say it that way. He was drafted by Minnesota, was drafted to Minnesota in their pick that they got from Detroit via the New York Knicks. Walter Clayton Jr., the electric player out of the University of Florida, was drafted by Washington, but then was traded to Utah. So he will be teaming up out there in Utah with Ace Bailey. I actually kind of like that combo. Will it work out in Utah? We'll find out. So those are some of the big news. Again, Asa Newell ends up with the Hawks in the trade with New Orleans. Atlanta also selected Drake Powell out of North Carolina at number 22, but they traded him to Brooklyn for considerations. And that's kind of the highlights from last night's NBA draft. Round number two is tonight. We'll continue with some breakdown later on in the show, but we got to get to item number two. The perfect season against the New York Mets is no more. The Metropolitans get the better of the Braves last night. 7-3 is your final. Didier Fuentes, the rookie pitcher who was electric his first time out, he got shocked last night. See what I did there? Because he was electric and then he got shocked. That's the opposite. That's just radio excellence for you, ladies and gentlemen. 3.1 innings allowed, 8 hits, 6 runs, all earned. Struck out just one, gave up a pair of dongs last night. One to Soto, one to Mauricio for the New York Mets. The Bravos had just 6 hits in the contest. You got one from Acuna, one from Olsen, one from Baldwin. His was a big dong. Albies had one. Verdugo had one. And Nick Allen had one. The problem was you had 2 ribbies from Ronald Acuna Jr. On a double. Nobody else was able to produce an RBI with the exception of Drake Baldwin's RBI off of his home run. The offense went back to sleep last night. The Mets rolled Clay Holmes out to the bump. 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 run. Cade, 2. Did give up the Drake Baldwin dinger. That was really the only damage they were able to do with the starter. Listen, I said yesterday, I did not expect perfection. I expected them to, I hope, win 1 of the remaining 2. They do have 1 more tonight as the conclusion for a 4-gamer up in the Big Apple. I said, even, and I will give them credit, even if they do not win tonight, even if they split this 4-gamer, that would end up being a record of 5-2 against the Mets in the first half. You can't be upset by that. That's the second place team in the division. That's a team that, until a recent run of bad luck, was either in or tied with the Phillies for first in the division. If you would have told me 3 weeks ago that the Braves would end the first half 5-2 against the Mets, I'd have been happy with that even when the Braves were playing poor baseball. Actually, even more so when the Braves were playing poor baseball. If you'd have told me when I had actual hope and expectations at the beginning of the year that the Braves were going to finish the first half 5-2 against the Mets, I'd have been absolutely ecstatic about that. So, I'm not as upset about this L as I am some of the rest of them, but the Braves have, with a couple of exceptions, failed to bounce back from losses like this. Will they tonight? In the conclusion, we will find out, and we'll talk about that more later on in the show. Let's get to item number 3. I'm going to keep it a buck. This one I put on the list because of the drama. This one I put on the list because of the drama and because coaches are finally doing something that I've been saying for a while they need to do if they want accusations of tampering and perhaps actual tampering to stop. What have I said the whole time? Name bleeping names. If you're not willing to name a name, if you're not willing to tell us who it is that did the thing that you are accusing someone of doing, then there is no reason for the people doing the things you're accusing people of doing to stop doing the things. You have to put the names on the table. And we have started to see that happen to some degree. We told you earlier this week, the University of Maryland, Wisconsin, one of those colleges I say their name funny. The University of Wisconsin has filed a lawsuit against the University of Miami, accusing them of tampering with a transfer portal player. Yesterday, the SEC got involved. Josh McCray is a running back, or I should say was a running back for Illinois. 609 yards, 10 touchdowns on 117 carries last year. One of the best players on that team. Josh McCray went into the transfer portal. Josh McCray is on his way to the University of Georgia. On the Triple Option podcast, in the middle of discussing the current running back room, head coach Brett Bielema said, and I quote, "We did lose a guy to Georgia. Somehow, he found his way to the portal, and 12 hours after being in the portal, he was on a flight to Georgia. I don't know how that happened, but it's crazy." I wish Josh all the best. He took advantage of that opportunity. Of course, this is a big loss for Brett Bielema because Brett Bielema's offense at Illinois is largely ground-based. And this was the guy that was expected to be the feature of that next year. So I find this interesting because Brett Bielema did not outright say that Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs were tampering. They did not outright say, or he did not outright say, that Georgia made an inappropriate offer or had inappropriate contact with Josh McCray. But he did take the passive-aggressive route, saying, it's crazy. It's crazy. He got in the portal. We gave him the permission to transfer. And pretty much in the same day, dude was on a flight down to Athens. Now, I'm not saying they did anything wrong. I'm just saying, what a remarkable coincidence. Now, I understand why he's not saying that. Number one is probably because he doesn't have proof that anything inappropriate happened. That's step one. He probably can't prove anything. And what you don't want to do is make an accusation of something that is, especially now with the College Sports Commission officially being off the ground, you don't want to make an accusation of something that is worthy of the old metaphorical ban hammer if you can't prove that something worth the old metaphorical ban hammer actually happened. Number two, my suspicion is going to be here that not only can he not prove it, but that you could theoretically say that Georgia is on a short list of teams that if they were to make an offer to a portal guys are going to go, hell yeah, I want to go play for Georgia. That's a championship contender. So unless they're getting offers from like Georgia and Ohio State and Texas and, you know, LSU and Clemson or whatever, that if a kid like Josh McCray goes into the portal, and you know that every when the portal opens, every D1 school in America has a team of dudes whose only job is to sit at the laptop and just keep pushing F5 on the portal registry to see as guys are officially entered into it. It would not shock me if Kirby had a dude sitting in front of a computer in Athens, refreshing the page, hitting F5 every 13 seconds, just looking at names that are popping up and going, Coach, Josh McCray, the leading rusher at Illinois, is in the portal. And Kirby would go, hit that man with an offer immediately. 12 hours is plenty of time for a team like a Georgia, an Ohio State, an Alabama, whatever, to see a kid's name in the portal, make the offer, and have the weight of program that anybody who gets an offer from them is going to say, yeah, that's obviously the one I'm taking. I'm obviously taking the offer from a team that is a contender, a heavy contender for the national championship this year. That's absolutely where I'm going to end up. So I think Bielema played this one intelligently because Georgia could absolutely make the argument of, we didn't touch the dude. We didn't talk to him. We didn't text him. We didn't call him. We didn't beep him. We didn't fax him. We didn't email him. We didn't smoke signal him. We didn't carrier pigeon him. We saw his name in the portal. We reached out. He said yes very quickly, right? It's kind of like when you break up with your lady and then you go on Facebook the next day and you see her at the bar with like a an attractive feller, and you're like, oh, she was obviously cheating on me. Not necessarily. She may have just went to the bar, gussied up a little bit, and got some attention, and went, yeah, why not, right? Like, it doesn't mean something was happening there. So I think Brett Bielema in this spot is doing it in a way that kind of covers his own ass, protects him from taking any heat by accusing them of doing something, but by just saying, it's kind of the old conspiracy theory approach to something, right? Like, I'm not saying this is what happened, but like, isn't it weird, you guys? Isn't it weird? The interesting thing is, and obviously if he said anything, we all knew it was going to go to Georgia because that's where the kid transferred. But the fact that he was willing to say Georgia, to say the name, I think there's some heat there. Wonder how Shane Beamer feels about that. Because on one hand, I got to think Shane would be like, yeah, thanks for calling him out. And on the other hand, he'd be like, hey, I'd fist fight that guy in a Kroger parking lot. We'll see. All right, we'll talk more about this later on in the show. We've got a lot to get to. Rob Alonso and you, the Rob Brown Show, is on the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
So, Alex Caruso and, Alex Caruso has a podcast. Everybody's got a podcast. I guess from this point forward, I should just say, on his podcast, so-and-so. But Alex Caruso has a podcast. Two-time NBA champion, once with the Lakers, once now, obviously, with the Thunder. He had J-Dub, Jalen Williams, on, and they had a conversation that I really enjoyed yesterday. Now, it's the only segment of the pod that I heard, but it did pop up. Somebody sent it to me and said, Rob, I think you're going to enjoy this. And I said, why? And he said, because Caruso and Jay Will had a conversation that I think will resonate with you. And I said, all right, send it to me. I'll give it a listen. And I did. I'm going to start with a clip from both Caruso and Jalen Williams. Now, Jalen is the one you're going to hear talking the most in this. You'll hear Caruso chime in. Then I'm going to play a clip that Caruso followed it up with. And I think it falls in line with a conversation that we have been having for a while on this radio program, both about basketball and about the state of sports media, which bothers me a lot. Not because, I mean, partially because I'm in it, but also because I'm a fan. Let me play a clip. So they're talking about SGA, who caught the label of free throw merchant this year. And they had kind of two different takes there. One of which I know is going to resonate with the great one. The other one, which I think is a conversation that needs to be had. Jay Will starts by saying a lot of this is driven by the media, who I don't think watch the games anymore. And this is there's a phrase I have used on this program quite a bit, specifically about the NBA media. I think it's less prevalent in football. But I also think because there are so many fewer games in football and there's only one per week, by and large, only one per week for teams, it's a lot easier to watch everybody or at least the big-time players, versus basketball, there's 30 teams playing 82 games a year. It's hard to watch everybody. And what ends up happening is a ton of regurgitated takes. People hear somebody say it, and then they just copy that take. Now, I can, even though I don't like it, I can excuse that for people out there with you guys, like out in the public. I can excuse that because the reality is if you are not paid to watch and discuss and debate in whatever sports, then yeah, you probably don't have the opportunity to put as much time as people who are paid to do that should, but often don't do. So I think you get a lot of regurgitated takes, but there's a second part to this conversation. And then I want to circle back around and address all of it in its entirety. I also think that there is a reason that there is a lot of regurgitated takes. And I'm going to go heel for the third time this week. It's kind of on us a little bit. It's kind of on us. There's a reason for that. And while he doesn't say it is the reason for it, Alex Caruso kind of explains what the reason is. So, Caruso, I think, just hit on what the problem is. And the problem is, to some degree, with us. And I'm including myself in this. I want you to know. This is not a full-on heel turn. I'm putting it on me, too.
So what you're doing is you're going away from the blame of the media and taking it away from the media and putting it on the people.
What's the job of the media? What's their job?
Media are the storytellers of our time.
What's their job?
But they should report unbiased.
Fine. What's their job? No, not about bias. This isn't about bias. This isn't about bias at all. What is this about?
If you're going to take a heel turn, you might as well be angry. So I'm going to work on
that. I'm not angry.
Okay,
I'm a little angry.
You are angry.
Here's the job of the media. The job of the media is to get views, and it's clicks on the internet. It's segments. It's views on segments on TV. It's whatever. It's to get your attention. And one of the things, and I've said this before about political television, right, is that all of the channels have started
to
realize.
You're still talking about sports.
No, I'm talking about political television and radio right now too.
And you're still talking about sports.
And I am talking about sports because it's following the same trajectory, right? There are two ways that you do it. Number one is you feed people information or disinformation that confirms their previously held belief. There's nothing more. I make the joke all the time about how when somebody who knows ball says something that I've already said, I play it as a pat on the back to myself. Self-validation. It feels good. We are creatures that love self-validation. It's an endorphin hit. And so there are people who you would like to think are just going to tell you, here's the facts. But they don't. They get on TV and they get on the radio and they don't give you the facts. They give you their facts, or not facts, disguised as facts, that confirm your previously held belief, because you are going to stick around. Nobody wants to go watch a news outlet that is going to say, hey, you know that thing that you have a deeply held belief about? You're actually wrong, and here's the proof of that. Because we would rather be incorrect but feel like our belief is valid than
so
be
when
correct.
They're saying you're wrong, are they actually presenting facts, or are they giving their own opinion that you're wrong?
No. That's not what I'm saying here. What I'm saying is, if you believe X, it doesn't matter what X is. Could be political, could be religious, could be sports, could be literally any topic. If you believe X, by and large, most people will listen to an outlet that lie to them about what X is and that their belief on X is correct before they will go somewhere else that will give them actual data and information to prove that their belief about X is incorrect. People would rather be incorrect about the data and have their belief that X is correct upheld than go somewhere else and say, hey, everything you believe about X, that's all actually incorrect, and here's the truth. Sports is no different. The second part about that is our attention span as Americans is garbage. It just is. It's garbage. It's garbage. We have a stupid short attention span. You want to know how I know
You're generalizing.
No, I'm not. I'm absolutely not. You want to know how I can show you?
Absolutely.
Lonzo, I'm not.
You can't speak for everyone.
No,
I can't. About everyone. That means you're generalizing.
Correct. I am generalizing.
You just said you weren't.
No, I am generalizing. 90% of America. Here's how I know that. YouTube has been around for 20 years now, 20 years plus at this point. YouTube right now has more people viewing YouTube shorts than videos. YouTube shorts are 90 seconds, maximum 90 seconds. Actually, I think YouTube shorts might be 60 seconds. I think it's Instagram is 90 seconds. More people are watching YouTube shorts. On YouTube, you can go right now and find full-length videos about anything you want. I watch 3+ hour science lectures regularly on YouTube because I'm a nerd. Okay? More people are watching YouTube shorts. So you could go learn all the details about this thing that you want to learn about. More people are going, can you just give me that 90 seconds, please? I don't really have the time to learn about the thing. I'd like you to just hit the highlights and move on. More people are watching Instagram reels than actually go and interact with the feed and the videos that are posted over there. That is just the number. If a social media
outlet... Isn't that kind of what Instagram is for, though? I mean, it's not a long-form thing. It's to watch pictures and watch short things.
So no, you're missing the point. More people are watching, even on a platform built for short content, are watching the shortest content that they can get. We are, right now, more about the short, quick, and what we like than we are about taking something in. So Caruso's point stands here, which is it is easier to go pull that one moment from a basketball game and post it to a YouTube short because more people are going to see that than the game. And so it is easier to sway people's opinions and get them to regurgitate beliefs. And if your job is to get people to click.
So he just called them media lazy.
No.
Yeah, he did.
No,
absolutely did.
No.
He absolutely
no.
did. And you just confirmed it.
No. And you are so missing the point of what I'm trying to say here. And maybe it's my fault. No, you are. The media's job is to get you to pay attention and to do whatever they need to do. It's not about lazy. It's about what you watch. So if I go over here and I put together a 10-minute highlight reel that actually gets into the guts of the game, and then I take the two or three highlights and make a 90-second clip, and I put them both out there, and the 90-second clip gets a million views, and the 10-minute full breakdown gets 2,000 views, what am I going to make? I'm going to make 90-second views. I'm going to make the one that a million people watched, not the one that 2,000 people watched. And if that's the way that this is going to work, then you can expect that that's the way that coverage is going to go. We'll break this down further later on. I got some more stuff that we need to play. Lulu Kesson at 8 o'clock. When we come back, I'll tell you, Rashad moving to Tomario. Tomario. Well, I am going to talk about Mario, too. Coming up on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I would like to continue the conversation we were having in the last segment for just one second, and we will. But I do have to let you know a couple of things about our Thursday schedule here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Starting this week, Rashad Beard, who has traditionally joined us Thursdays at 8:40, will be moving to Fridays at 8:40 from this point forward. Rashad has had a some sort of job switch. Now he has to be in the office on Thursday mornings. So Rashad is going to begin this week, as in tomorrow, joining us on Friday morning. So if you're a Carolina Panther fan who has made it a point to tune in to hear what Rashad has to say on Thursdays, you will now have to tune in to what Rashad has to say on Fridays. The second thing that I need to let you know is you will recall that Hayton ass Mario Heron from the BetMGM network joined us on Tuesday, and I told you he couldn't show up on Thursday and you would find out later in the week. Well, now you find out why. If you did not listen to BetMGM tonight last night, it is because Hayton ass Mario is returning to Chicago, Illinois for a new job opportunity. He is no longer with the network. Last night was his final night on BetMGM tonight. Yesterday was his final day with the BetMGM network. Before I continue, I very quickly wanted to say, even though he may be listening because I know he streams the show sometimes in the AMs. Mario Heron has been a phenomenal kid. He's been a phenomenal partner. He's been a phenomenal co-host. He's been a phenomenal producer, and he's just a phenomenal dude. It has been more than a pleasure and a privilege to share the airwaves with Mario. He is going to be tremendously missed as both a coworker, a colleague, and a friend on the airwaves. I wish him nothing but the best. I know I have given Mario hell on his show, on our show, on this show over the years. But it was a very big brother, little brother kind of relationship. I love Mario dearly. He is one of my favorite people that I have ever had the privilege and the pleasure of working with. The kid attacked every day, every show, did it the right way, cared about the product that he was putting on the air, cared about the entertainment value, cared about the product. And I can tell you, as somebody who's been in this game for a very long time, that is far less common than I wish I could say that it is. So Tuesday was Mario's final appearance. We could not say it at the time because they could not say it on the network yet at the time. And that absolutely broke my heart because I wanted to give him a proper send-off here on the show. And we may invite him back once he gets back to Chicago and gets set up. But yesterday could not come on because he had to set up for the final show. And he is getting on a big old jet airliner today. Before I move on, I have to tell you this great one because I don't know if you'll find it funny or mean or maybe a little bit of both.
Well, probably going to be mean, but go ahead.
Oh, it was definitely mean, but it was also funny as hell. So yesterday, Cody Decker and I jumped on BetMGM tonight to surprise Mario. Mario didn't know we were coming on. We were the first show that he was given a full-time production role on, was Bet for the Cycle way back in the day. We were the first full-time host that Mario, or first big show that Mario got an official chair on. And so the producers of the show last night called Deck and I, and they were like, yo, we want you guys to come on and have one more Roast-O-Mario segment before he leaves. And I was like, yeah, no, for sure, absolutely, let's do it. So I jumped on the video. I kept the camera off and the mic off to kind of surprise Mario when I got on the air. And so when I got on the air, Mario didn't know we were coming on the show. And Mario said to me, you know, I'm going to keep it a buck, Rob. I half expected that you were going to show up in the studio today. And I said, oh, You think you're off the hook for the ass tattoo, don't you? You think you're off the hook for it. And then in just a moment of brilliance, I said, you'll notice, Mario, that down on the little bottom of the screen there, it says Rob Brown and Cody Decker join the show. You'll notice it's only me. Would you do me a favor and would you look to that door right over there you're sitting next to? Because it's about to open and two very special people, one an artist, is about to walk through. Mario sunk in his chair and his face went white because he thought that Deck and a tattoo artist were about to kick open the door and give him his butt tattoo on the... He wasn't and he didn't because Deck's in LA on vacation right now. I convinced Mario that we were about to WWE, by God, that's Cody Decker's music, him, to give him a tattoo on his butt on the last day of the show, and he believed it for just a second. This kid went ghost white and deathly silent on the radio, waiting for Deck and a tattoo artist to bust through the door. Ryan Horvath and I almost had to end the segment because we could not stop laughing.
Oh, that's great. That is great.
Yeah.
It is mean. You're right. But it's radio. So, I mean, as far as that goes, that's funny.
I had him convinced that Deck wasn't on. And the reason was Deck couldn't get his computer working, so he was just late and had to call in. But because Deck didn't come on and it said Rob Brown and Cody Decker joined the show, I convinced Mario Deck was about to kick open that door with the tattoo artist to get him. And he believed it. Oh, it was fantastic. It was a rib, man. All right. I would like to pick up on a conversation that we were having in the last segment. We were talking about the comments of Alex Caruso and Jalen Williams about the media. And Lonzo, I did not effectively, I'll take the blame, communicate my point correctly to him. I pointed out that in 2025, unfortunately, and this is true of just about everybody in the media world. And before I get to where I was going there, I do think it is very important to start the conversation by saying there is a difference between a journalist and an editorialist. There is a difference. One is to provide news, data, information, facts. The other is to provide opinions and is under no obligation to be honest with you. And most people in the sports world nowadays, most people in the sports world are editorialist. I am an editorialist. Now, there are times when I act as a journalist. When I go to SEC Media Days here in 3 weeks, I will be playing the role of both. When I am at the press conferences and doing the interviews and all that, I will be serving in the role of journalist. My job in those few hours will be to hit you on social media or on the show the next day and say, Greg Sankey said that, and he gave this number. And then my job will be to go investigate that number to find out if that number is accurate, if the context that Greg Sankey gave us that number is accurate, what that means to the SEC. Then I will switch to the role of editorialist and say, my opinion on this is that blank, XYZ, whatever. When we talk about guys like Coward, Stephen A. Smith, whatever, those are editorialists. They are under no ethical obligation to give you correct data or information. They are under no ethical obligation to tell you the truth. They are under no ethical obligation to give you an opinion based on fact. Hell, they're under no ethical obligation to watch games. They could just make it all up.
They could just play solitaire.
They could sit in a chair at the NBA Finals and play solitaire. I don't know what Looney Tune clown would do that.
Sounds made up.
Yeah. That sounds like fake news to me. But they are under no obligation to tell you the truth. They are just under an obligation to give you an opinion, and it is up to you to decide, am I entertained by this, and do I take this opinion seriously? That is it. So, the problem is that for these major corporations, news outlets, and I'm talking about them for news, I'm talking about them from your local TV station all the way on up to the big MSM, mainstream media. Their responsibility, welcome to the world of late stage capitalism. Let's get philosophical up in this bad boy. Their obligation is to their shareholders.
Late stage as in ending?
No, as
so,
in...
So you're saying the country is over and all things are done and run out in the street naked and do whatever you want.
Cause no, it's that is not what I'm saying.
World. Okay.
That is All not right. what I'm saying.
All right. You need to make yourself more clear.
Late-stage capitalism is a philosophy, a belief that the system is designed to make money, and we have entered the stage where making money is more important than anything. It is more important than truth. It is more important than justice. It is more important than anything else. At the end of the day, in late stage capitalism, making money means more than anything. It makes money. It means more than the health and well-being and safety of people. It means more than making sure everybody has an opportunity to succeed. All that matters. The number one priority is money making. And I do believe that a large chunk of, if not exclusively, that's where we are in news. It is. We are at the late stage capitalism era where it is okay to openly lie about news as long as it's making you money. And the reason it makes money is because, as I said in the last segment, people would rather have their beliefs confirmed by incorrect information than have their beliefs challenged and perhaps proven wrong by correct information. That's just what we do as people. It is a well-known logical bias that has to be acknowledged and dealt with. So people would rather watch a 90-second clip because of the short attention span, especially if that 90-second clip confirms some sort of belief that they have. I will tell you one that I had to deal with yesterday. Based on the season the Oklahoma City Thunder had and my observations of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, as somebody that I am willing to bet watched more NBA basketball this year than probably 90% plus of the people listening to this show, I had absolutely subscribed to the SGA is a free throw merchant belief. And then yesterday, not just by Caruso and by J. Will, but by a number of folks yesterday, I had a couple of numbers thrown in my face that I had not heard before. Number one, over the past five seasons, in all five seasons, SGA had more drives to the basket than any player in the NBA. More than LeBron, more than Giannis, more than Nikola, more than Ant. He had more drives to the bucket than any player. So it would make sense that he has more fouls than any player because fouls are frequently, most often committed against guys who are driving to the rack. This is why you kids out there listening, take Uncle Rob's advice. I don't care what position you play. Learn how to get to the rack. That's where you get fouled. That's where you go to the stripe. The second bit of information that came out alongside that was this. SGA averaged this year 8.8 free throws per game. So just under nine. Y'all think Michael Jordan was a tough player? He wasn't a free throw merchant, right? Michael Jordan shot 12 free throws a game over his career. Kobe Bryant, was Kobe a free throw merchant? Nobody accuses Kobe Bryant of being a free throw merchant, right? Kobe Bryant shot 10.1 free throws per game. The greats of the game. And again, you do have to put the variables in. One of them being that there are the superstar rules, the Jordan rules. But Jordan and Kobe, yes, GOATs. Yes, they had the superstar rules in front of them. Those guys shot more free throws per game than SGA. So, were they free throw merchants? I've never heard them accused of that. Yesterday, when I heard these numbers, I went back and really analyzed them. And I do think there are some variables in the equation. I do think there are some things. I do think SGA is a bit of a flopper. But as I've also said, I don't think that flopping to earn free throws, if you're getting the calls, I don't think flopping to earn a free throw is any worse than throwing yourself on the ground to take a charge. But we put respect on guys who take charges, right? That's a glue guy willing to put his body on the line, take a charge. How's that any worse than a guy taking a hit on the arm and going flying through the air if that's the only way he's going to get the call? That's how the game is played. So I had my opinion on SGA change. Do I think he's a flopper? Yes. Do I think that's inherently bad? As I am a proponent of and fan of guys who are willing to put ass on the deck to take a charge, no, I can't say it's any worse than that. And when you were telling me that SGA is shooting a full free throw and a half fewer than Kobe Bryant did over the course of his career, and a full four free throws per game fewer than Michael Jordan, and I have, and I don't think you have either, ever labeled either one of those guys a free throw merchant, then I think at that point I had to change my opinion on that. And it happened after the season. I wish it didn't. I wish this would have happened before the NBA Finals. Happened after. I have a new appreciation for SGA because of that. The point here is that even I, somebody who prides himself on go dig it up yourself, go find the numbers, go find the information, go find the data, I do not believe it is correct to believe anything that you yourself have not proven and verified. Now, you may do that by looking at experts and having them provide the data and the research method they got there and yada, 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 going way off the deep end here. But I am a full believer in the philosophy of I don't believe anything you say to me that cannot be proven to me with like dumb exceptions that make funny radio bits or whatever, right? So when SGA, or excuse me, when Alex Caruso and when Jay Will say that they believe a lot of people in the higher up media don't watch the games anymore, and they provide those numbers as their evidence of it, and I went and confirmed those numbers, that's pretty good reason to believe that the folks who have, and again, I'm one of them. I am punching myself in the face here. The people who have run with certain narratives are frequently falling into a trap of someone else said this. That person is in a role of a position of authority, a position of accomplishment, whatever. So therefore, I trust what they have to say. And when you fall into that trap of just assuming that someone in a position of trust and authority is automatically telling you the truth, no matter what position of trust and authority they're in, that's when you get yourself into trouble. And I think that's what's happened in the sports world. You combine that, when you combine that with the fact that we as a country have developed this remarkably short attention span, we end up in the world that we're in now. Because, you know, Caruso said there, I miss the days of ESPN where you get on and there was a minute and a half, 2 minutes, full game highlights of every game. And they would tell you, coming up next to this game, then that game, that, and then at the end of the hour, top 10, and then we reset it and talk about every game. And now it's what? Now what you pop on, they show you one SGA highlight. You get 2 minutes of the anchors going, oh, that guy's a free throw merchant. Or, oh, this guy's the GOAT. And no gray area, no nuance in the middle. And collectively, our coverage of sports has gone downhill because of it. I believe every word of that. I also believe every word that Lonzo's about to tell you in the Sports Flash.
Including that was all directed at Stephen A. Smith. That's what that whole thing was about. The Atlanta Braves' perfection against the Mets came to a conclusion last night with a 7-3 loss to New York. Rookie Didier Fuentes made his second big league start but got hammered, giving up 8 hits and 6 runs in 3.1 innings. Striking out just one, the Braves collected 6 hits, including Drake Baldwin's 9th homer of the year, but went 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. Charlotte Hornets selected Dukes Kong-Knipple with the 4th overall selection, a 6'5 wing player with a great shot and aggressive defense. Charlotte also traded center Mark Williams to Phoenix in return for the number 29 pick and first rounder in 2029, as well as center Vasily Micic. The Hornets drafted UConn's Liam McNeely with the pick. South Carolina's Colin Murray Boyles is heading to Canada, selected 9th overall by the Toronto Raptors. He didn't appear to be happy about it.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed and Audacy Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.